Good afternoon. We're going to open the Senate Committee on General Government and Accountability for Monday, April 3rd, 2017. And just to let you know, we're not going to hear Senate Bill 822. There's more work to be done on that. So I'm going to open a public hearing on both Senate Bill 231 and Senate Bill 829. Senator Gelser.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For your record, my name is Sarah Gelser. I'm the state senator from Corvallis and Albany, Senate District 8. And thank you for opening up both of these bills so I can provide some opening comments and then head off to my other hearings. Do you care which one I talk about first?
It's your pleasure.
All right, thank you. I'd like to start with Senate Bill 231, which establishes a task force on mental health support for students. We heard this bill in the Human Services Committee, and the idea behind this bill is to look at the impact of students who are experiencing mental illness and mental health needs in college and university settings, and how that impacts their ability to successfully complete college. We had good testimony in that committee, and I know there are proponents of the bill that are here to talk with you and answer any questions that you may have. It is a task force bill, and as you know, all task force bills are moving from the initial policy committee to you, so you become the arbiter of all of the task forces. It's one of the few task force bills that we've moved out of the Human Services Committee. I do think it's a worthy one. So any questions on 231 before I the next one?
Go ahead.
All right. And next I'd like to talk to you about Senate Bill 829. Senate Bill 829 offers a very simple proposal, and that is that the proceedings of the legislative and executive branch that are transmitted to the public should be in compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act and be accessible to all people at the same time. Right now, it is incredibly difficult for people who are deaf and hard of hearing to participate in the legislative process. That is not just about coming to the Capitol and being lucky enough to find an American Sign Language translator. Not all people who are deaf and hard of hearing use American Sign Language. And like hearing people, people who are deaf and hard of hearing are not always able to travel to the Capitol in order to watch the proceedings of the floor or the committee. And like the rest of our constituents, should be able to log on to their computer and follow our proceedings. Anything that runs on the television, if you turn on your closed captions, that is captioned. The technology is there for us to do it. So what this bill says is if it were to pass, this hearing and all other hearings and our floor proceedings, when they are broadcast across the internet, would have the closed captions running on the bottom, which actually is required by the Americans with Disabilities Act. I can tell you it has been a challenge in our office. I have a wonderful intern this session who is working on a number of bills, but because she is an intern and not able to be here every day, and because she is not a hearing person, she is not able to access the hearings to be able to do all of the work. And we have another intern right now that is going through and hand captioning all of the hearings. In our office, we have made a commitment to only put up things that are captioned, so there is always a delay before we put up videos from our office because they are all captioned. It's a very simple matter of justice and access, and I really urge you to move forward Senate Bill 829 so that all Oregonians can access the legislative process in real time as their right is guaranteed by the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions on either 231 or 829? Apparently not. Thank you very much, Senator.
You
can go do the other 15 things you have to do now.
Thank you very much.
So first I'm going to call up some of the people on 231, Lamar Wise and is that Lyra Damaris? If I didn't get your names right, you can correct me.
Chair Riley, members of the committee, my name is Lamar Wise. I'm the legislative director for the Oregon Student Association. The Oregon Student Association is about 41 years old, and we represent over 100,000 students statewide. And so this bill, Senate Bill 231, that is brought forward to you is being brought forth by students. This is a party issue for students, one of our party issues for students, and the reason why is because students all around the state have seen the need for more things to be done around with folks folks with mental health issues and resources that are or lack thereof on some of our campuses that we would like to start addressing. We believe this bill is a solution into getting at a long-term solution. Students are wanting to first off get the data, get the necessary resources and research in order to be able to put forward solutions at a later date. We did not feel like we had all of the expertise that we needed to bring forward solutions, but through this task force, we're hoping to find solutions that are, cost-effective, and then secondly, effective for our students around the state. And so I'll pause. We have a student here, Lena, who this was actually her issue brief when going through our own process of selecting issues that, that we want to put forward. So I'll hand it off to Lena.
Hi, so I'm Lena DeMorais. I am a student at Lynn Benton Community College. I also work with the Veterans Club and Active Minds out there. Originally, when I was creating the issue brief, I wanted to look at a mandatory implementation of mental health preparedness programs in higher education. But what I found in my research is that we did not have a lot of data, and none of the data that we had was consistent. It typically is either something pulled from national averages or it's individual surveys that only a few campuses have done. I felt that as far as looking into programs that would help, the first step is getting that data, is recognizing the mental health issues that are coming forward right now. I myself am a type 1 bipolar, and so I struggle with numerous issues when it comes to schooling. I have actually spent 10 years since high school trying to get back in the program, and one of the things that really helped me succeed this time around is the fact that my school has counselors and has staff and faculty that have started participating in this mental health first aid program. I've also met with the state coordinator for mental health first aid programs here in Oregon. There are thousands of programs under implementation right now that are finally starting to kind of give that data that we need. But when it comes down to it, what students need right now is to understand what's happening. And I think that the staff, faculty, administrations also need to understand the scope of what is happening and what resources currently exist that are successful and what resources really aren't helping students that much. And I think that this task force is the first necessary step in helping students succeed, especially students that are neurodivergent. And what we're finding is we looked at, you know, data that said 1 in 4. We look at surveys here, we're looking at 1 in 2. You know, there is definitely an increased rate for numerous reasons, and we really need to get down to what's going on, how can we help, how can we create a program that actually helps everyone and creates this streamlined resource center. It's become such an issue that on my campus, our student government even created a wellness position, which is specifically around looking at resources on our campus to help those students. That's why I, you know, really urge you all to pass this bill, because I think that it is the first necessary step to really turning around this, you know, endemic issue that we're finding. Thank you.
Any questions for these two? I have a couple of questions. So give me a good reason why this has to be a task force instead of a work group. Task forces are expensive, and we're struggling right now for finding that kind of resource. So is there a good reason that this couldn't be just a work group?
Chair Riley, yeah. So when first constructing this legislation, we were told that we could not do work groups, so we were told not to. So we pursued then this route of doing a task force. And so I was just following orders, so to speak, from what I was told. But our intention is for this not to cost the state dollars. We checked the fiscal impact, and we saw there was a wide range of $13,000 to over $30,000 or over $300,000, we are not wanting to spend over $300,000 on this, but instead using what we can with the existing resources to get at these solutions. I hope that answers your question, Senator.
It does. So thank you very much. So I'm going to actually close the public hearing on Senate Bill 231, and we're going to continue on with Senate Bill 829. And so I'm going to try to get these names right, but I'll probably get them wrong. Stephen Brown, Chad Alwig, and Logan Palmore, if you could all three come up.
Do you want me to go ahead and start?
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon, Chair Riley and members and committee here. My name is Stephen Brown. I am Vice President of Oregon Association of the Deaf and registered lobbyist. I'm so excited to be here today and to see some of you. I'm here to talk about Senate Bill 829. I was here 2 years ago also, and it seems it almost passed. The captioning law almost passed. We were just so close. And so I'm hoping this time it will pass. There's several reasons why we want it to pass. Not just because of deaf and hard of hearing and access for the legislature and senators, but for children who are interested in the political arena. They can read maybe Spanish and learn more and have an impact in their reading. And as they read it, then they'll understand the meanings. A lot of hard of hearing people also who have lost hearing, and they're using their hearing aids, and sometimes they can't hear because of environmental noises. So it'll be easy for them to be able to capture what the information is by reading it. Also, hard of hearing people who typically are in a state of denial. They're just kind of not wanting to fess up that they're losing some hearing. Captioning helps them as well. Then they don't need to tell people that they've lost hearing, and they can retain their privacy. Also, I interned here for 7 years for two representatives. We had no captioning or anything, and I had to have an interpreter full time. But really, I was shocked because I think that was in 1993. The law says that all TVs 13 inches and above must have a V-chip within them for captioning, and now the ADA was added, and it says you must have that, and then they have internet access and web streaming, and I think President Obama passed a law, I think in 2006-ish, must also have that in internet and things like that where it must be captioned. So I wanted to encourage you to bring Oregon into this century and provide access. Thank you for that. If you have any questions, I'm here. Hello, Chair Riley. My name is Chad Ludwig. I'm president of Oregon Association of the Deaf and registered lobbyist. We are an organization that represents 168,000 deaf people with hearing loss, and most of the percentage of them are hard of hearing who do not sign. We also have three bills last week, Senate Bill 1018, SB 1023, HB 3268, and all three of those are related to our community. The streaming, they put the streaming video on the website, but they didn't know what was happening with the three bills. They have significant and direct impact on their lives. However, the legislature here has full responsibility to make sure that everyone has full access. The three of us are heavily involved with legislative activities this year. You've probably seen us around a lot. Occasionally, we sit in Oregon Capitol Club downstairs, and sometimes group of people are sitting at a table, and suddenly they look up to the TV, and they began to talk about whatever they just heard on the TV, and we're all kind of looking at each other and feeling lost because the TV is not captioned, so we don't even know what's happening in the meeting room that they were just looking at, so we felt lost. Other times we were standing waiting in the legislative office to schedule appointments, and sometimes the aide will have side conversations with other aides regarding their own legislature giving us hearing or testimony. And we wanted to be part of that so we can discuss that a little bit maybe in their office. So accessibility is an ongoing issue. A lot of you may look at the dollars and cents, but that should never be an issue. Accessibility is the issue, and it is a federal law. We need your support to put a do pass recommendation on this bill. Thank you for your time. Hello, my name is Logan Pointer. I am a member of OAD and part of the legislative committee. I've been involved and realized so much is needed, including captioning, because it's real-time information. I wish I could get it at home or here. I could open my laptop and see relevant information about what's going on, but I have to wait for a transcript, and then the transcript isn't always the same day. We have to wait for the information and to add more unnecessary steps for my process. That would help a lot if we were all on an equal access page.
Thank Questions you. For these three? Senator Hess.
Thank you. So would a hearing like this be the kind of thing that you're talking about? So there would be someone in here typing in closed captions to appear on the internet?
Well, Senator Riley, Chair, and Senator Haas, there are so many different options available for making caption accessible. That is something that the legislature needs to explore, all the various options, and see which one works the best. You could have someone sitting in the room typing the information. Right now, what our captionist is doing is captioning assisted communication assistance real time. That's more for in-room watching, but it's not for TV. And what you need is what we call option captioning that is placed on the bottom of the screen of a TV. Another option that you could get a transcript from her and then give it to the team, and they could fit it to what's said, but that delays the information. So what you need is immediate current information posted and streamed to the internet. So you need someone here to be able to type it right into the screen. And Stephen wants to add, Chair Riley and Senator Haas. Another option is, you know how the speaker phones have contracts with companies that they could pick it up and type it right into the TV system. That's another option. But a lot of it is time consuming. But through this, they could hear it and type it right in, and it could proceed from that moment on.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. I think I'm very sympathetic here. Anyone who wants to access government should be allowed to. But we have, just in this building, hearings 12, 14 hours a day in all of these rooms. and that would be quite an undertaking if we had someone in here typing them out. However, I agree with the technology I have on my smartphone, that voice recognition thing a lot of people have, where if somebody leaves a voicemail, the computers can pretty well print out the message. And so it doesn't seem that that time is too far away, that that could be incorporated in the very thing that we're sending out over the internet.
Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Mark Hill, Gerald Fleming, Robert Koenig.
Mark, you go ahead and start. Hello, my name is Mark Hill. I am a community member as well as an OAD legislative committee member. I wanted to focus on, I wanted to strongly encourage all of you to do pass this bill. Allow us to have equal access through captioning, and it's not just for deaf and hard of hearing, but really for everyone. And here within, in the eyes of the public. And it is a law already, a federal law. So under the law, under the American Disability Act, we need to follow what the law states for that equal access. In today's world, technology is used so much, and so many are already using captioning. So I was trying to work with FCC as well as other organizations and watching what the FCC is doing and all the revisions they're making regarding to captioning. And so it's more and more closer to real-time captioning. So, and the same thing should be able to happen here. So I just want to encourage that real-time captioning that allows us to follow along with what's happening in the world today. I myself am a science major and a politician, and I love to watch what the procedure is happening in legislature. And we're more like second-class citizens when we're just left out. I think it would be more equal access, and I'm an American citizen, just like all of you. And I would like the same rights. Thank you very much for hearing me. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them for you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Robert Koenig from Roseburg, Oregon. I'm very excited to be here today. I'm an activist in the deaf grassroots of Oregon and a member for OAD. We who cannot hear desire for video transmission of all the both the legislative and the government to put captioning in for email access for all who cannot hear. We all are just like everyone else here, people. We have the same passions for knowledge. And under the Leave No One Behind in Oregon, we desire that we're not left behind. I desire that captioning gives a big benefit for learning, even reading. I remember getting my first captioning box when I was a kid, and that's when I began to learn to really read. Now I'm able to read English better, and that's beneficial to all of us for our communication. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity and your time. Hello, my name is Gerald Fleming. I'm a state representative for Deaf Grassroots of Oregon with over 660 members. And we don't want to be in the dark. We feel neglected by knowledge of the political legislative process here in Oregon. We don't see the captioning, so we've felt left out for a long time, and we don't want that to happen anymore. We feel that it's time for us to turn the lights on for everyone in Oregon. Thank you for your time.
Questions of these three? Thank you very much for your time. And we have one more, Tashi Winston.
Tashi Weinstein. I'm here, I'm hard of hearing, and I'm representing the Hearing Loss Association of Oregon, as well as Lane County and Salem, Oregon. I'm hard of hearing. I was born with a damaged cochlea, but I wasn't diagnosed until the age of 12. It's very difficult for me to be able to watch TV because they don't have a lot of captioning on there, and I can't really go to movies. I do come from a political family, and I'm really involved in politics. However, it's been very difficult for me to be involved in politics because a lot of places don't have FM systems. They don't have anything for me to really be able to use, so I can't really go online and be able to listen to hearing because of background noise. And so by having these closed captions, it's really going to help a lot of people who are hard of hearing, because 70% of us who are hard of hearing don't know any ASL. And many of us refuse to admit that we have some sort of hearing loss. And we've tried learning ASL in the past, but it's been very difficult for a lot of us. And so I'm here on behalf of the Hearing Loss Association to support SB 829 and saying that for a lot of us, especially my younger generation, wears a lot of hearing, headphones, who are becoming increasingly hard of hearing, really need to be able to have closed caption, because we're losing our hearing, and this is a way for us to stay involved in politics.
Questions? Senator Przanski.
Just more of a thank you, Tashi, for being here. I've known Tashi for many, many years. Her father and I have worked together in Eugene on issues around recycling.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I don't know how many more people are going to be testifying.
The last one.
Oh, well, then let me just say I love this bill. I'm very glad it was brought forward. it's almost like a no duh. Mm-hmm. It really is. We've got to figure this out.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that's the last person we have to testify, and I'm going to close a public hearing on Senate Bill 829. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 829.
Chair Riley, I move Senate Bill 829 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator moves Senate Bill 829 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there a discussion? Objection. It is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation and with a referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Okay. So I'm going to open a public, all right. Is it a work session or public hearing? I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1028.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1028 was previously heard on the 29th of March. It permits the professional licensing bodies to substitute experience for high school diploma or equivalent. It becomes operative January 1, 2018. The committee will recall this was Senator Manning's bill. Mr. Breen has come to testify again. It has no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Thank you. David, you want to testify?
Yeah.
I like this bill. I got both sides really like this bill. Peter Courtney really liked this bill. Speaker of the House, Republican speakers, all both sides really like this, and I like to see this done as soon as possible. Put it on the floor or have a hearing on it on this side, and make sure the done deal for disability people. Because a lot of disability people depend on me and get this done for them. So I'm asking the state of Oregon and both houses pass this bill, get the governor to sign it in law, and get it done this term. That's all I'm asking. I really like this bill, and every county wants it.
Questions done. For David? Thank you, David. I really appreciate you coming here and talking to us again. Thank you.
And I really appreciate it and get it done. I really like to get it done this year.
So I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1028. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1028. Senator DeBoer.
Chair Riley, I move Senate Bill 1028 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you.
Senator DeBoer moves Senate Bill 1028 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Is there objection?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to thank David for his hard work on this. You've been put in a lot of time.
Yes, I have. I've been working on it since the session started.
Well, we're about to pass it.
Man.
We're about to pass. Any objections? It is sent to the floor, and
thank you.
Senator Manning will carry the bill.
Thank you.
So that's all we have for today, and so I'm going to I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 1028, and we're adjourned.
Thank you.
David, you do good work.
Thank you.
David, you do good work.
We're adjourned.